right. So vision, we started this characteristic of the eagle last week of vision. And this was, their vision is so good, I had to split it into two teachings. So today we're going to look at vision again. And when you think of vision, the first thing that came in my mind was Hawkeye. Avengers movies, everybody seen Hawkeye? Yeah, really cute, big muscles. He's an expert marksman, like he can see everything and he just, you know, just pulls that arrow out, shoot. So I just immediately thought of Hawkeye. Or if you have little preschoolers, and John William, don't tell him I told you, but sometimes I catch him watching this, The Lion Guard, so cute. I love Disney. Ono from The Lion Guard, you know, he's the bird and he flies and he's got this, something happens and that goes like a shield goes over his eyes. Kion sends him out to see and to survey what's going on. He's got this excellent vision. So those of you with preschoolers know what I'm talking about. So we're going to talk a little bit more today about vision and about eagles, obviously, because that's what we're concentrating on. Not only do eagles have the best eyesight in the animal kingdom, and not only can they detect a rabbit from 100 feet up in the air, they can see fish color shaded in the water. Not only that, but they have double the field of view compared to humans. Eagles literally have eyes in the back of their head. They have their visual field is 340 degrees compared to humans, 180. Wow. They have huge field of vision. And a really cool thing, and this is a sermon for another day because this is such a cool thing about their vision. Eagles have an inner eyelid, and it's called a nictitating membrane. And it's really gross. When I did all my research, I came across this YouTube video. I'm like, why did I watch that? It kind of slides across their eye to clean the dust and dirt, and it's translucent. And y'all listen to this. This is what's so cool. You know, you hear, and we're going to talk about this in week 7. I wrote it all out yesterday. You know, eagles love the storm. They love the storms. And this nictitating membrane covers their eyelid when they go up into the storm so that they can see. So they have another set of eyes for the storm. That'll preach. But don't let me start preaching on it yet. Not going to do it yet. So today we're going to talk about how eagles have this double field of vision, and how, to me, when I started thinking about that, how does that relate to mothering? I kind of thought about the word perception. They can see so many things around them, so they are able to perceive all that's going on. And I believe that we as moms need eternal perception. Now listen, I'm not talking about the perception that perceives, oh, this would be the best, you know, tutor for my kid, or this would be the best team for my kid. I'm talking about my friend Ann back there. She is a big baseball mama. Some of you are baseball mamas, and her son is a big baseball player. He's great at it. But I'm not talking about the perception that makes sure he gets on the best team and he gets the best hitting coach and he gets the best pitching guy. But Ann's perception is what Will does when they lose a game. How he treats his coaches. I'm talking about the eternal perception to perceive how your kids deal with a teacher that is hard. I'm talking about the perception that deals with, like I'm dealing with my third born, authority. Being told what to do. Or being told that they're not as good at something that they think they are. John William, your left hand, back hand in lacrosse is not as good as your right hand. For 3 hours, he wouldn't let it go. So instead of being mad at the coach, mama's perceiving her kid's heart when the coach tells him something he doesn't like. That's the kind of perception I'm talking about today. The perception to hear what's going on in the back seat of your van when they're talking about a certain friend. Mama's going to call it out as gossip and not join in. Perception. How perceptive are you, Mom? Perception, by definition, is the process or state of being aware of something. The capacity for such insight or knowledge. The process of perceiving something with the senses. So it's the process or state of being aware of something. Mom, are you a perceptive mom? I believe if you are coming to Moms with Swords, if you're listening to the podcast, I believe you are. I believe you are saying, I want to be. I want to be. Because listen, I'm going to ask you to not just see how cute they are. Aren't they so cute? Y'all, but I'm going to ask you to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. I taught several sessions ago about the sin in your camp. Listen, I am a sin sniffer in my home. I feel like it's part of my job. Listen, I'm not going to be your sin sniffer now. I'm not going to be a Pharisee. Lord Jesus, keep me from being a Pharisee. I'm sniffing out my own sin. But I believe it's my job as my kid's sin sniffer. Because they don't see it. They don't see it. So God, that's part of my job. I want us at Moms with Swords to be perceptive parents to where we are looking and we are perceiving and we're not just saying, oh, that's so cute when they hit their brother. It's not cute when they're 10. It's not cute. They get out of that really quick. Let me tell you, the stuff that you think is cute now, if you don't perceive it and get a hold of it, it becomes some kind of issue. Anybody say amen? Amen. You got to see it, Mom. You got to perceive it. So I believe if you're coming to Moms with Swords, you're saying, I want God to show me. But I believe as a society, as a whole, I believe that we are not perceptive parents. I believe there are not a lot of perceptive mamas, y'all. There are not a lot of mamas that are willing to see things in their kids that are hard to see. It's not easy. It's not, y'all, I don't like it when the Lord puts the flashlight on my own, let alone my babies. Man, the pride in my firstborn, the insecurity in my secondborn, and the religious spirit in my thirdborn. But I see it, y'all, because I got 18 years to ask God to help me participate in the plan that he has for them. And I believe part of that plan is digging up weeds, taking the backhoe, and allowing my kids to allow their God to walk them through their own sin spots. Perception. I believe I could name. I believe that the root cause as to why we are not perceptive parents, to why we are not perceptive mamas, comes down to one word. And that word is T-I-M-E. Time. Listen, we are so rushed. Our planners are so full. Listen, you can barely make the 9 a.m. drop-off right down the road. You're coming in on two wheels. I was there. I had to sign John William into Burnt Hickory Preschool almost every day. Good thing I paid. They didn't have to kick me out because I was paying for it. I'm coming in on two wheels. We're coming in on two wheels. We're too rushed. We can't even get to carpool in time, let alone take care of the really bad attitude that's happening in the back seat. Got too much going on. We're too hurried. Some of my favorite quotes. Some of my favorite quotes are, time is what we want most, but what we use worse. Mm-hmm. Time is what we want most, but what we use worst. Time is more valuable than money. You can get more money, but you cannot get more time. Lost time is never found again. And my favorite one, Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life, says, time is your most precious gift because you only get a set amount of it. Moms, just in the lens of mothering, which I've been hitting on this thing for the last couple weeks, and today we're going all in. We're talking about it today. These statistics are staggering to me as I was doing this teaching. 85% of those who accept Christ do so before the age of 18. Moms, what is the ages that you have your kids in your home? Birth to 18. How are you using your time? I ran across this quote. I sent it to our youth pastor who had seen it before. I'd never seen it, and it just struck me. It says, children are one of the greatest and often overlooked potential mission fields. Moms, I can't go to Africa right now. You might not be able to go to the foreign mission field. And I've been on many mission trips, and I love it, and I want to go, and I'm looking forward to it. But y'all, let me look at you in the eyes and tell you, you have a mission field. You have a mission field. I tell it to y'all all the time. Sydney has spent the nights. Sophie Cade has spent the nights. Guess what they just know is going to happen? At about 11:30, my mama's going to come up here, and she's going to pray over us. They're in my home, and this is what we do in my home. Y'all, mom, you have the greatest mission field. I'm not in Africa, but I feel every bit I'm doing just as important of work. Barna Research, I love Barna. If you ever need any kind of statistics, Christian statistics, y'all, I'm sorry, I'm pulling up my pants because I need a belt. I really need a belt. They're stretchy. I'm sidetracking. I tried on Sydney's belt. You know you're not skinny when you try on your 16-year-old's belt. I was like, oh, I can wear a belt, surely. Oh, it got to here, and I got to here, and I was like, oh, well, no. So it's totally sidetracking. Barna Research, I love Barna. They say, listen, the 5 to 13 window is the age group most prone to accept and act upon the salvation message. How many of you have a 5-year-old to a 13-year-old? Do you feel the weight? And leave that on there. Do you feel the weight? Not a yoke of condemnation. Not a heavy yoke, because his burden is light. His yoke is easy. But do you feel a fire that God just wants to go pew, right up under you? It's what he wants to do. He wants to light a fire up under you. I'm the fire. Remember last year we talked about poking your fire? I am poking your fire today. 5 to 13, y'all. I've got one that's past that. That's what they say. That is the age group that is most prone to accept, not only accept, but to act upon the salvation message. Moms, what are you doing with your time? Your set time with your children is approximately 18. And I know with you little ones, some of you with little ones, you're like, oh, will it ever be here? If you follow me on Instagram, you saw my picture yesterday of my little Sophie Cade, who's 13. When they told me she's like 5'6½", I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is my middle one. Like, I've already accepted my older one, but this is my middle one. Are you serious? Y'all, it goes so fast. And at 18 years old, most of you, probably all of you in some way, are going to shoot them out of the quiver, out of your quiver, and they're shot off and they're going on their own way. We talked about it last week. You, those of you with multiple children, you know that first one. Oh, you have so much time, Courtney. I'm sure you're in that now. I remember with Sydney, I would nurse her and watch Matlock, and then I would take a nap because I don't throw a stone at me. Y'all know this about me. I'm a baby wise mama, so I was very scheduled. So she woke up at like 7:45. She nursed at 8. She went down for a nap. Then she ate at 10. Then she, you know, so I knew it. It was so peaceful. Oh, I loved it. Oh, within 3 years later, here comes Sophie Kate. And by that time, Sydney's like in a little, did y'all ever hear about, this is, I'm dating myself, but Gymboree used to be at the Avenues and you'd go and the little, they'd blow bubbles and the little clown. So Sophie Kate wasn't that, I was like, oh wait, I can't get my nap right now. What? So I'd nurse her, be hurrying. And then by the time John William, y'all all know the story, like it's like, okay, you got to come off. We got to go. I've got 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. So you don't, I just didn't have time. My Todd says it, and he still says it. You're a stay-at-home mom, but you never stay home. Anybody else? Y'all, we get these children for such a short amount of time. We have to intentionally seize the short span of time we have with our babies. We must seize it purposefully. We must perceive things in our children. Some of your most eternal moments with your babies, I promise you, are not going to come when you're reading the Bible with them. They will come out of those times, of course, but I'm telling you, some of my most eternal moments with my kids have been, listen, driving Sophie Kate to school. I hate where my schools are located, where Sophie Kate goes to school. It is in the back pasture, literally cows, horses, and it's so inconvenient when I could put her on the bus. But I drive her to school because some of our most talks, some of our most eternal talks have come from that drive to school. I remember driving Sydney to lessons. Y'all, I grieve it now because she drives herself. Driving her to pitching and hitting and speed and agility. Some of our most eternal talks came from those times. Mom, seize the moments you have with your kids. Seize them. Don't look at them and don't be so exasperated by them. I'm guilty of it too. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But today, can part of that fire that God's lighting under you, can part of that fire be to seize every moment? Take advantage. I think one of the most critical passages for moms, I love this passage in the view of mothering. It's in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And we're going to look at it in the Amplified, another wonderful, I love this translation. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning, perceptive people. Here it is, making the very, very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence because the days are filled with evil. Making the most of your time on earth. Do you feel the weight of that verse, Mom? How are you walking today? Because as we talked about in week one, how you're walking is a pretty good picture of how your kids are going to walk. I got to check my walk before I check my kids' walk. I got to check my walk, how I'm walking. And the Holy Spirit has a way of spanking me at different times. And yesterday at the doctor's office was one of those. I took Sophie Kate for her physical. And I would love to tell y'all that when I drive, I'm nice all the time. probably some of you. And unfortunately, I have two magnets on the back of my car that everybody knows it's me. I need to take those off. I want to get one of our Moms with Swords stickers back there and put it on my window, but I'm really, really scared to. So I would love to say I'm nice all the time when I drive. Now, I'm not. I don't ever, you know, do that thing, that, you know, finger thing. I don't feel a need to do that or whatever, you know, or cut you or, but I will throw up my hands or something, you know. Well, yesterday, Sophie, Kate, and I were at the doctor, and I'm just sitting there, and luckily, y'all, I hate insurance. I don't like dealing with insurance. You could bring your kid into the doctor's office and say, they're dying. They're going to be like, what's your insurance? The Lord keeps me ignorant. I don't know a lot of it, so it's good. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I just get so frustrated with it. So luckily, I didn't show myself yesterday, because as Sophie, Kate, and I are sitting there, and I'm reading one of my books and talking to Sophie and reading my book, the lady behind the counter pops up and says, can I still order a shirt? And I was like, how are you walking, Joy? And then she goes on to say, I listen to your podcast every week. Thank you, Lord, that have I shown my butt to her? Have I shown it? How are you walking, Mom? And then Sophie I wanted to make sure Sophie knew that I was being corrected, because I always correct my kids. So I said, Sophie, Mommy's going to have to watch. She's like, well, you're not very patient, so she's probably seen you drive. How are you walking? We got to check ourselves first. Am I buying up every opportunity with my babies? Because the days that we're living in now are evil. And y'all, if you think they're evil, our children and our children's children day, oh, Lord, come quickly. Man, I want to see my kids get married and be successful, but I would just be so happy if the Lord would just come on. So much suffering and so much injustice and so much hate and evil in these days that we're living. And I grieve for our children, which is why the more we must choose to make the most of our days. Now, I've told you this many times, the teenage years, and you'll get there if you are not there yet. The teenage years, while they have been wonderful years, please do not let anybody tell you to dread the teenage years. That is a lie from Satan, and he wants you to think that. Do not fear middle school. Do not fear high school. Because if you're being an intentional, on purpose, off the sidelines mama, those are going to be some of the most bountiful years in your children's lives. We are taking that lie and we're ripping it up. Some of the most amazing years with my kids are these older years. But now they come with some things that you got to deal with. Now for girls, I'm not there yet. My friend Joy Martin is really helping me with the boy. Like, she's telling me stuff the other day on text. I'm like, what? So she's got three boys, older, and then a 10-year-old like me. But now when you have a teenage girl, I'm just going to tell you, you need to be prepared, because it becomes all about friends and their social calendar. And hair. And eyelashes. My 16-year-old comes to me the other day, Mom, I want a perm for my eyelashes. She's like, I'm tired of having to use, because she does, spends about 30 minutes on those darn eyelashes, because they have to go up, and she says hers go down, so she wants a perm on her eyelashes, $150 perm on her eyelashes. Uh-huh. It's like, well, you better get a job. So for kids, it's just all, and Sophie Kate, y'all, she's hit seventh grade. Listen, I'm going to give you a hint. Those of you can amen me. Tisha knows this. Sixth grade, they're still kind of likes to be with you. It's kind of cool. But let me tell you something. Seventh grade, every basketball game, every football game, they have birthday parties for everybody. They're getting together at so-and-so's house. My sister's like, I'm sure Sophie Kate's got something to do tonight. I'm like, yep, she does. Like social calendars, their friends, it becomes so elevated. So you, mama, have to get a plan, right? You got to tap into God's plan, the blueprint, and you got to get some perspective on what you're going to do in those years. Now, mine and Todd's, this is Joy and Todd Philosophy 101. This is not the Bible. You have a Holy Spirit who is your counselor that will tell you what to do. But I'm just going to tell you a few of our philosophies as we've come into these years. Our philosophy has been, you're going to be with us more than you're with them. We have not done a lot of spend the nights. John William likes to throw that up in my face all the time that he's had one spend the night his whole life. But we just don't do spend the nights. We just don't do them a lot. And can I tell you this? And you're going to want to write this down because this is something the Lord said to me the other morning. Your kids will crave the culture you create in your home. Your kids will crave the culture you create in your home. Think about it. Now, my husband grew up going to Wednesday night church. Every Wednesday night went to church. I didn't go to Wednesday night church. I went to choir practice because I was in the adult choir. So I didn't crave Wednesday night church. So when Todd and I got married and had kids and started talking about church, it was just something that he's like, they're going to church. I didn't crave it because I didn't grow up in it. He craved it because he did. He craved it. Some of you make a big deal about birthdays. Like, birthdays were a big deal in your home. And I wish I could cook so I could make smiley face pancakes on my kids' birthday mornings, but they get a Dunkin' Donuts with a little candle in it because that's about all the fun mommy has. But some of you grew up in a culture in your home that your mama made a big deal about birthdays. So what happens? You make a big deal about birthdays. So spend the nights aren't a big deal in my home. So y'all, I've got a 16-year-old, and y'all, she still doesn't really like to spend the night with people. Just because that was just something that I felt the Lord wanted me to cultivate in our home. We just don't do a lot of spend the nights. So it's crazy to see how, like, Sophie Kate and all these little birthday parties, she'll say, "Just can you get me, like, last Saturday night? Just pick me up at 10:30. I don't want to spend the night." Your kids will crave the culture that you create. So what culture are you creating? Now, I'm not saying we're making our lives about our kids and we're, you know, we are just like, everything's about our kids. No, no, no. I guess because I see how quick the time is going, I'm more zealous for time with my kids. Because I want my influence and my husband's influence to be the greatest influence on my kids right now. Where their friends' influence will be what they want as their influence, I perceive that. So what's mama doing? I'm interjecting myself in the situation and I'm saying no. What is in you, mom, cannot rub off on your kid if you are not with them. And we live in the most farmed out society, I think, ever. And I'm not talking about if you work and you've got to find places for your kids. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about if we can, there's that Christian camp or there's that. Oh, yeah, you go over to her house. Listen, I want everybody at my house. And it gets on my nerves sometimes because sometimes I do just want it to be us. But when I'd rather them come to my house because guess what? I do want the influence to be greater. So you got to decide. You got to decide some things. Because so many things, when you spend time with your kids, so many weeds God will allow you to perceive if you will just be willing to look. There are so many weeds. Y'all, those snow days, oh my gosh. I mean, they couldn't go to school fast enough. I'm just admitting, and I love being with my babies. Because it was like, I got to see some of the flowers. Because all I'm seeing is weeds. But I want to, God, I want to. I want to see it. Now, I like to call myself, Jamie, this is the shirt. This is the shirt wherever Jamie is. This is the other shirt I want us to get. Y'all have heard me talk about this. Black Hawk Mom. Hashtag Black Hawk Mom. We got to get that shirt. I got to get Boss Me and Black Hawk Mom. So this, I want to talk about a Black Hawk Mom because that's what I call myself. And some of you now have adapted that, what you call yourself too, a Black Hawk Mom. So a Black Hawk helicopter, and this one is a very special, they're very top secret. Some of you with military husbands know this, they're very top secret. You don't find a lot of information. This was one of those teachings that I'm probably going to get flagged by the government because I was doing snipers and Black Hawk helicopters. They are probably going to look at my history and I'm probably going to get a knock on my door from the government, ma'am. But Black Hawk helicopters, y'all, listen. They are frontline utility helicopters. If you got Moms with Swords, our 501c3, that's our ministry, is called Frontlines Family Ministry. Because we are on the front lines. So I love the Black Hawk because it is a frontline utility helicopter and it is used for special operations. And raising our arrows is a special and a holy operation. These Black Hawks can withstand hits from 23 millimeter shells. I don't know anything about shooting, so I don't know if that's a big deal, but it must be a big deal because it was in the research. You know, if the internet said it must be true, I totally do not believe that. Please don't believe that. But I do believe that about this. Listen, I love this. Think about you and your husband. Pilot. Well, he's the pilot. We're the co-pilots. So he thinks. No, we really are. The pilot and the co-pilot of the Black Hawks have armor-protected seats. Mm-hmm. Devil, you're going to have to go through a lot to get to my babies. Because guess what? I'm flying low. And listen, every season of mothering, you young moms with young babies, with preschoolers, toddlers, especially those that are just now walking, you gonna fly about this low. John William, this is where I'm flying. Now I'm not, listen, don't you make your life about them. I'm not flying with them. I'm not with them on the same, No. I'm flying just right here. These younger years, I'm flying here. Sophie Kate, my 13-year-old, I'm a little bit higher, still Blackhawking. Oh, I'm still Blackhawking. And my 16-year-old, I'm about here. But y'all listen, when she's FaceTiming, Amy, you'll feel good about this. When she's FaceTiming her boyfriend at night, guess what Mama's doing? I'm standing by the door. Don't tell her. Is that nosy or is that wisdom? Oh, she'd say it was. Actually, she probably wouldn't care. I'm Blackhawking because I want to perceive. I want to know. Listen, these parents say, oh, they're older. It's none of my business. Listen, for 18 years, it is all your business. For 18 years, it's all your business. It is all your business. I can come in your room anytime when you're on the phone with him, and you should have nothing to hide. You got a Black Hawk at different places on different seasons, especially in groups of friends. When they're sitting in the back of your car and I'm listening. That's perception. When you're at a game and you got this little group of friends over here, I'm listening. Again, I'm not all up in everything, and I'm not making my life about their life, but I'm perceiving. Perceptive. And then there comes a time, like I'm in this stage with my 16-year-old, where where the Black Hawk, you kind of change, and I'm still Black Hawking her, but I'm giving her a lot of trust and responsibility. Sydney had a situation come up not very long ago. A situation with a group of friends, actually at her youth group. and just some stuff going on, and mama was having to, again, I'm here, and I had a tendency in a couple of the circumstances to come here. But Holy Spirit, praise you, Lord, kept me here. I would just tell my really close 12 what I really thought. But I was still here. And I remember I looked, Todd and I talked about it and prayed about it, because it got to the point where she didn't want to come to youth. And I looked at her and I said, Sid, I trust the Holy Spirit in you to give you direction on what you should do. You don't have to go to youth group. All I care is you got about 3 or 4 people around you speaking into your life. You don't have to go to youth. I trust Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. About 2 weeks later, she said, I'm going. She went on the retreat. She led worship last night. Mama had to trust the Holy Spirit in her. Y'all, it's not about controlling the plan. It's about participating in the plan. I could have controlled it. Man, I could have controlled it. But you're participating in the plan. You Blackhawk your babies, but you trust the Holy Spirit in them. This word time in Ephesians 5 is the Greek word kairos, fitting season, opportunity. See, I love it when you dig into scripture. See what you find? Derived from kara, head. Things coming to a head. Look at this. A favorable moment. Moms, I believe we get a fitting season. We get an opportunity of about 18 years of mothering. But within those 18 years, we get so many favorable moments. We get about 18 years, but we get so many favorable moments. These 18 years or so, we can make the most of them if we just will. That making the most that's in the scripture, making the most of your time. In the Greek, as you dig into that, it means take full advantage of, listen, a buying opportunity, recognize the future gain. Do you understand the future gain that is in your home? And one mom taking a step to plant eternity into the hearts of their kids can literally change generations. That Bible verse that you read over your kid or you text your kid, do you understand that God's word in Hebrews says it is alive and it is active? It is going deep down. It is into the joints and the marrow, and it is working because it's alive. Do you understand what happens when you just send that in a text? I had a mom, I spoke over it at this church down the road, and a mom's thing, and a sweet mom nursing a brand new baby and a 2-year-old. She ran up to me after I spoke, and she said, Joy, he did it. He did it. Like, he put a light bulb in her heart and in her mind, and she said, I can just speak scripture while my baby's nursing, and I believe it's going to do something in her heart and in her life. And from then on out, she said, I would just nurse, and I would just speak scripture. Do you understand what is going to happen generationally because that one mom is doing that? You don't have to preach a sermon. You just do something in the way towards eternity, and God will multiply And generations. That's why I'm so passionate about Moms with Swords, because I believe if Moms with Swords went away, I believe generations would be impacted. Because I believe God is using Moms with Swords to impact generations for the kingdom. I believe it. You are a part of it. Your children, the future gain, your babies, because you're coming here every Thursday or listening to a podcast instead of listening to the fish. Your babies, the future gain. It's incredible, incredible. But I think so many of us, instead of taking that time, we're Facebooking. We're on Pinterest. We're complaining about how busy we are. And all the while, the clock is going tick, 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 tick. I'm a routine person. You don't mess with my routine. I'm a creature of habit. And not too long ago, I got a call from school that John William was sick, and we were going through this thing with strep throat. And y'all, I will tell you the miracle. God healed him. He has not had strep in like 3 years. But for so many years, he would have it. So I was like, I had so many plans for that day, and that was not in my plan. So I picked him up, and I guess I was not very happy. Because as we were driving to the doctor, he just from the back seat, and this was when he was about 7 or 8, little precious. And he said, "Mom, why are you so mad at me? I'm sorry I'm sick." Tick, 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 tick. The days we live in are too evil, Mom, for us not taking the time to be present with our kids, to be in the moment. Our time is so limited, but no matter, we today can take a step towards changing that and say, I'm going to take full advantage. I'm getting up every 3 hours at night. There's future gain to be had. You're sick again. You're home with me again. There's future gain to be had. Our ability to perceive the things in our kids is a direct result to the amount of time we spend with our kids. I think we've got it wrong. I think our vision, as we close this chapter of talking about vision, I think our vision needs to be shifted, moms. Because I believe that our eyes are fixed on making that team. Our eyes are fixed to making that grade. Our eyes are fixed to getting into that school. Our eyes are fixed to getting into that preschool. Our eyes are fixed to that SAT score. And all the while, we're glancing at our kids. Today, I believe the Holy Spirit would tell us we must first fix our eyes on Jesus. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, for where does my help come? My help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Mom, today, if your eyes have been looking at things that are temporal, today, before you walk out those doors and go pick up that baby, shift your eyes back on Jesus. Fix and lock your gaze on him. Then he will allow you, as you participate in his plan for your kids, he will then allow you to see and perceive the things in your kids. And then may I challenge you to merely glance at those other things that don't matter. Just glance at them. And I am so guilty. Please never think that I am preaching at you. I am preaching to myself as I preach to you. Now, the Holy Spirit did change this in my message. I want to shift as we close. And I want to tell you, Mom, I just want to talk to you. Actually, I don't even want to talk to you. Take your mom hat off for right now. I want to talk to you as daughter of the Most High God. He told me to tell you a few things. I showed you, Ann showed you that picture of that Black Hawk helicopter. Actually, that was not just any Black Hawk. That, and this is there, this is even a drawing because you can't even get the pictures. This is what it is perceived to have looked like, the stealth Black Hawk that was used in the Bin Laden raid in 2011. And why I tell you that is because Holy Spirit told me that as that is what you are to your child, it is what he is to you. He is the ultimate Black Hawk parent. What's so special about this stealth Black Hawk, y'all? And again, it's top secret. But the one thing that was leaked out is that this particular helicopter is covered in a radar absorbent material. Your father, you are not to take all the bullets and the bombs. Your father is Black Hawking you, daughter, and he's taken them for you to allow you to walk through whatever you have to walk through. He is your parent. He is your daddy, and he sees you and perceives you. Look at Psalm 3, verse 3. You, Eternal One, wrap around me. Everybody say, me. Wrap around me like an impenetrable shield. You give me glory and lift up my eyes to the heavens. Look at Psalm 28, 7. You are my strength and my shield from every danger. When I fully trust in you, y'all, help is on the way. I jump for joy and burst forth with ecstatic, passionate praise. I will sing songs of what you mean to me. And look at finally Psalm 84, 9. Your God is your Black Hawk daddy. You wrap around. Your wraparound presence is our defense. In your kindness, look upon the faces of your anointed one. God wraps around you, daughter, as a defense. He sees you. He knows you. He perceives you. And because of that truth, you can then perceive those things in your kid. And you can then pass this truth on to your babies. That God sees you. He is the ultimate Black Hawk daddy. There's a story. Very familiar story in Scripture about Hagar. You know, Hagar was Abraham's mistress, Sarah's maidservant. And when Sarah couldn't conceive a child, she and Abraham, they had Hagar to conceive for her. We know a lot about Hagar, but Holy Spirit showed me something yesterday and is what he changed this whole ending of my message just for you. The story of is Hagar in Genesis. Genesis 16:13. Hagar is in the wilderness running from Sarah because Sarah despises her because of the children she has produced for her husband Abraham. And Hagar is in the wilderness. And what is known about Hagar is that she was pious. Because, see, she was adjusted to living in Abraham's house. And it is said in Abraham's house, it was a saintly life. And angels, can you imagine, came and went as constant guests. So Sarah was pious to angels coming and going in Abraham's house. But now Hagar has found herself on the backside of a wilderness and she sees an angel. And she says, I'm going to call you the God of seeing. El Roi. Because in this place, I have seen the one who watches over me. You see, Abraham's house was the expected place to see God. But in the wilderness, in the never expected place, God shows up. Mom, God does not just show up and want to reveal himself to you when you're doing the things, when you're reading the Bible, when you're taking your kid to church and taking your kid to that Christian youth camp. God shows up in the never expected places. Your God saw you at the abortion clinic. Your God saw you when you were watching that pornography. Your God saw you when you were in the bar. Your God is the God of the never expected places. Can you have a revelation that God sees you when you're driving to carpool? He sees you when you're for the fifth time cleaning up, throw up. He sees you and he is enthralled by you. He is not just God of the expected places. When you're keeping all the P's and Q's of the Christian faith, oh, let him break in and be the God who sees you in the never expected places. Would you stand? Man, God, I feel a holy hush. As we have taken off any hat that we've worn other than the daughter of the Most High God. And as we talk about perception and perceiving things in our kids and taking the time to do it, God, you are bursting forth in this moment, and I believe penetrating every soul in this place and the ones listening, that I am El Roi and I see you. Some of you might feel as if you are in Abraham's palace and you're doing all what you should be doing, but there are those of you, I know, I feel the Holy Spirit saying, there are those that are standing in this room that are in the never expected places. Feel that impenetrable force of your Father wrapping around you, saying, daughter, I see you and I love you. I am enthralled by you, and I will be with you. Jesus, flood in this place, in this moment. As our prayer team goes to the back, If you need God to meet you in the never expected place today, would you go and let somebody pray with you? If you don't need prayer, you can just sit down. I'll come and close this out before we go to prayer groups. But let's just take a few minutes and allow the Holy Spirit to work. Jesus, you are welcome. Have your way over these next just few couple minutes in Jesus.